Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. John Blau is the new guy on the LSU beat. He took over for our good friend Wilson Alexander. He covers the Tigers for the Baton Rouge Advocate. This is his first time on the podcast, so welcome, John. And LSU, I mean, you stepped into a great situation here. It's certainly the most interesting team in the country. But if we're just strip away all the drama and everything else, what is this LSU team at its core?
I don't know. It's a mystery at this point. It's a lot of money invested. It's a lot of players with some big names. I mean, you talk about Sam Levitt and Jordan Seaton and Princewell Umanumelen. But at the end of the day, we haven't seen it all come together on the field. And so it's a spectacle right now, like you said. I mean, a lot of talk about Lane Kiffin. Pretty much all of SEC Media Days felt like it was about Lane Kiffin. So it's definitely a story, but what it actually is on the field, I guess we have to find out.
I see the talent on this team. The depth chart is littered with guys who will be playing in the NFL. My concern with LSU is, as a Mississippi State, covering Mississippi State, I watched Sam Levitt against Mississippi State. The two of the worst defenses in college football he played against, and he was not good. Neither one. I thought he was really rattled when he came to Starkville last year. Why do you think it was Levitt above all other quarterbacks that Kiffin was attracted to?
I mean, I don't know if it was above all.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah,
there's a Damon Williams thing before. They went to Levitt. So, obviously he's been to the college football playoff. He's definitely a guy who's aggressive and likes to take deep shots. I think Kiffin does like a playmaker. At the same time, it is going to be interesting to see how he fits in Kiffin's system, because if you look at a guy like a Trinidad Chambliss, I mean, he takes a lot of what's given and he gets the ball out quickly. And it's going to be interesting to see if Levitt doesn't always try to go for the big play, which is kind of his instinct at times. And so, yeah, it is an interesting match. Obviously, I think all the recruiting services thought Levitt was one of the top, if not the top quarterback available. Obviously, Darian Mensa jumps in later, and maybe he's above. But, he's got an arm. He can run. I think, obviously, the running ability is something Kiffin likes too. But, yeah, whether he's going to fit and how he's going to play, I think, again, goes to the mystery part I was talking about.
On this LSU offensive line, outside of Jordan Seaton, is anything written in stone with those guys? That feels like that should be a lot of competition throughout preseason camp.
Yeah, again, I think one of the biggest question marks is that offensive line. Like you said, Seaton is locked in at right tackle, at right tackle, Weston Davis had some ups and downs last year. I know Braylon Moore was a good player at times. I mean, I don't know how much of his struggles had to do with some of the other pieces in the offensive line, but that wasn't a very good offensive line last year. I mean, LSU could not run the football. And Lane Kiffin is somebody who emphasizes running the football. And so he absolutely needs that to come about. Ba is a transfer from Maryland they got, who I think plugs in at one of those guard spots, but they really still got to figure out one guard spot and whether Weston Davis is going to be that guy at right tackle. And so there's a couple spots there we'll be watching. I know Bo Bordelon is like a fifth-year senior who's been in the program for a long time, who's been talked about as a guy who could play. Whether he's really up to that task, having not played a lot in his first 4 years, is going to be interesting to see.
LSU throughout the last, two, three decades, one thing they've been known for is just monster defensive linemen, guys who game-changing kind of guys. There are a couple of five-stars coming in, Deuce Geralds and Lamar Brown. Is that a group of guys that can make a difference for the Tigers this year?
Yeah, and that's, again, another question. And, Deuce Geralds is an interesting player. I actually am working on a feature about him in the coming weeks. And, I covered Clemson previously, and Peter Woods was a guy that everybody that I've been talking to compares him to, either that or Aaron Donald. Obviously, Aaron Donald is a tall task. Let's not call him Aaron
Yeah, let's
Donald.
go. Let's chill just a little bit. Yeah.
Slow down. But yeah, it's a guy who really is disruptive, gets off the ball quick, has strength. He's not the biggest guy in the world at the college level. I think he's like 6 foot 1 or two and 280 pounds. But he's going to be an interesting guy to watch because he could be somebody who really changes the complexion of that defensive line. Rich Anderson's one of the other five stars you talked about or kind of mentioned, alluded to. He's a huge guy. I think Ed Orgeron compared him to Cortez Kennedy in terms of his skill set. Again, lots of names being thrown out
The
here.
big names, John. Jeez Louise.
A big guy who's going to plug the gaps for you. But again, a freshman. And then Lamar Brown is maybe the most interesting one. He was the number one player in that class for LSU. He came in at like 6 foot 4, 290 pounds, and they have him playing defensive end. So I don't know where he's at in terms of his body, but he's another guy that's probably gonna have to fill out that defensive line rotation. So it's a defensive line. Again, talking about Prince Will and some of these other players, they have some talent there, but the defensive tackle position, especially, they really have to have some of those freshmen, I think, emerge to really have a really good defensive line.
Is offensive line the position group that you got the most concern about coming into the season, or is there another spot where you look at it and you go, that's a question for me?
Yeah, I would say offensive line is top, for sure, just because of, again, those questions on the right side. But in the secondary, I would say, depth is a concern. I think they have some pretty good players there, and DJ Pickett as a sophomore is like a 6 foot 4, 6 foot 5 pterodactyl out there at cornerback, and PJ Woodland is a guy that a lot of people talk a lot about, and Ty Benefield I think is an excellent addition from Boise State at safety. He's being talked about as a top five prospect in the NFL draft next year. They've got some guys, but Anding, who's one of their corners, he got hurt before, in spring ball, so he's probably out for the year. And you don't really have a lot of proven guys at corner behind Pickett and Woodland. So I think as long as they stay healthy, the secondary is pretty good. But if anybody goes down, I think that's where you have some question marks.
When we talk about LSU, obviously the conversation is going to turn itself to Lane Kiffin at some point. I've enjoyed some of the revisionist history from Ole Miss people here in this state over the last few months, where they've tried to convince me the man never won any big games for the Rebels over the past few years. I've enjoyed that quite a bit. But that being said, this is a coach who has he's getting paid like a coach who has multiple national titles when he has none. That's a very fair thing to say. I don't think it's national title or bust. I think it was Jordan Rodgers who said that last week at SEC Media Days. I don't necessarily agree with that. If LSU's in the playoffs, all good for Kiffin and Lane in year one. But what happens if this is a 9-3 football team and they just miss out on the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's going to depend on how they look going 9-3. I mean, if you have some close games, some nail biters that really one play here or there could have turned it to 10-2, and all of a sudden you're in the playoff. And obviously, if they're playing well, towards the end of the season, I think you want to see them get better as the year goes on. But if they're 9-3 and it looked like they could have easily lost a couple other games, and some of those are blowouts, or if you lose on the road at Kentucky or Auburn or something like that, I think there could be consternation in the fan base. But yeah, I think you're correct with 9-3, 10-2, make the playoff, hopefully. I think that gets the job done, especially with so many new pieces that you're trying to integrate, and you never know how it's going to work. But I do think, Indiana winning that national title, I mean, just being able to turn that thing around as quickly as they did, I think everybody thinks you're supposed to be able to do that. They don't appreciate the miracle that Cignetti pulled up there. And so yeah, I think that changes things. But I do think, realistically, just making the playoff, I think, is a step in the right direction.
I made a projection pick on my SEC, all SEC team at Media Days. I picked Harlan Berry third team because, as you just mentioned, and I feel like this gets lost all the time. If you ever really want to get Jacob Hester riled up, call that Lane Kiffin's offense a passing offense. It is not. It is a run-first offense. They want to run the football. Berry, I think, is going to have one of the best cracks at it as a former five-star player. Can he be a 1,000-yard rusher this season?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like you said, I mean, Lacy, I think, had the most carries of any running back in Division I
He
football
did.
last year. And so Lane Kiffin loves running the football. Our Harlan Berry's definitely, the most talented, maybe, but the guy who really emerged in the spring was Dylan Jones, who was a transfer from Wisconsin. He was a top 10 player in his class when he came out. He just had some injuries at Wisconsin, really, didn't had a had a, such a short season last year that he was ranked, I think, barely inside the top 80 transfers at his position. So everybody kind of forgot about him. But he really established himself in the spring as a guy who's just, a guy who works real hard. He's 5'11, 220. He's got some speed. He's got some strength. And so, I mean, he's a guy that might be kind of in that pole position right now to be the number one back. But that's pushing guys like Harlan Berry and Caden Durham and guys who are really talented players. And like you said, I think Barry's a really talented back. He's got a lot of speed. Obviously, can he's big play waiting to happen type of guy. So if he can kind of push and kind of show that, and obviously again, it all depends on that offensive line how it comes together. I think he could be a 1,000-yard rusher. I don't think that's out of the question.
How mad are LSU fans that this Mississippi State game is at 11 a.m.? I know they got to be fuming about
Yeah, I don't think they like any games that are before. What, 6:30 Central?
Yeah.
Night games only
They
for those
play
guys.
every game at 8 o'clock if you gave them the option. I really
Yeah,
truly believe
they
that.
need their time to get, pre-gamed, and
Right.
that takes all day.
You
So
don't have to drink all day if you don't stop drinking all night. That's what I
that's
would
true.
say. Just
Yeah.
power through. You'll be all right. I mean,
Gets
they've done it before, so.
started on a Thursday, I guess, maybe.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but and they will. They absolutely will. John, really appreciate your time. We'll definitely have you back on the podcast this season when we get closer and closer to this game. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Brian.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.